Hi, and welcome to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. I'm Natasha Moore.
And I'm Simon Smart.
We all think we know what freedom is. It's one of those concepts that is kind of straightforward in theory, but maybe not so much in practice. The most obvious form of unfreedom is, of course, slavery. It's really easy for us in the West to think of this as an historical issue, though in fact, there are more people in slavery today than at any time in human history. Today we're going to talk about a new film that's out called Freedom, which thinks about this idea of slavery and tells the story of John Newton, who was a slave trader and wrote the hymn Amazing Grace. It also tells the story of an escaped slave a century later. So we're going to talk about that, but we also want to think more broadly about what freedom is, why we always seem to want more of it, and how we can perhaps be more free. First, though, we went out on the streets to ask people what they think about freedom.
Freedom to me is to be able to believe and do exactly what you want to do without having others, I guess, impose restrictions or their beliefs on you.
To be able to express yourself.
Freedom is to a point where it has to be stopped sometimes, where it's with law. Being a parent, you gotta extend the freedom of some people.
Having the freedom to choose who you want to be, who you want to be around, and what you want to do, of course, if that's not going to affect everybody around you.
To me, it's more the idea of, you know, living without oppression and without anybody telling you how to live your life.
Freedom is a word that covers quite a lot of different things. It's one of those concepts that, you know, we all know that it's a good thing, and therefore it's actually quite hard to define it. Simon, what do you think freedom is? Is it just being able to do whatever we want?
That seems more complex than that. Dictionary definitions tell us things like the power to write, act, speak, or think in the way we'd like to. So there's sort of an absence of some sort of domination of other people. There's a sense of a power of being able to sort of self-determine things for yourself. There's also the sense of not being imprisoned or enslaved. So you're not subjected to something undesirable. There's those sorts of definitions, I guess. But it gets you thinking about this, because in the West, we're so free. We have so many freedoms now. And freedom itself is such a high ideal. We love to be free. We're free from poverty, largely. We're free from other people telling us how to live. I often think of advertising agencies who I really think pick up on this and play on it. They sort of touch on our desire for freedom. If I buy that car, if I have that piece of equipment, if I go on that holiday, this will be me being free. There's that sense of financial security as well. You get that idea in the idea of winning the lottery or the lotto. That's your chance to tell the boss to stick it and, you know, you're going to be free.
For a really positive concept, it actually in many ways is defined negatively. Like, we think about what we're free from financial constraint or from imprisonment or being subject to someone else's expectations. So we do all agree that freedom is a good thing and that more freedom would be a good thing. But, you know, what happens when my freedom to do something comes into conflict with the freedoms of others? You know, if we want to live in a safe society, then the idea of everyone being free to just do whatever they like is actually a bit of a disaster. So how do we balance freedom with other goods?
Yeah, it's really important, because it seems very childish actually to think of freedom as only being about me able to get whatever I want. To live in a community, to live in a civil society, we all have to submit to laws and conventions in some ways that restrict our freedoms. So I guess freedom always has to be balanced within an agreed set of boundaries. We don't think it's okay for me just to park wherever I like, or drive at whatever speed I like, or drink as much as I like to drive, that sort of thing. So there's a sort of important boundary set on me and others to ensure the safety and the harmony of the community. So, you know, I think we have to think about freedom happening within a certain set of constraints.
And I suppose one of the things that we in the West can be thankful for is that we do have very free societies. There are ways that we can take freedom really for granted. And we see ourselves as being free in ways that many other people around the world are obviously not.
No, that's right. And these freedoms were hard won. So don't hear me sort of being down on freedom. But I do think now we've got to the point where some of these really important freedoms of press and speech and association, all that sort of thing, have kind of come to a point where we've swallowed a definition of freedom that might actually be unhelpful. So I've learned a lot from the theologian David Bentley Hart, who talks about the fact that in the West we've come to think of freedom as being nothing but unlimited choice. And he reckons because of this sort of this mystical supremacy of the idea of choice that we've got an idea now, a definition of freedom that's actually impoverished. So everything that sits under this unquestioned good of free choice means that any sort of judgment, whether it's by someone else or even by God, is to be kind of rejected. So he says it's no wonder that the modern person has kind of jettisoned God, because if you think that the ultimate good is freedom to choose, then any kind of assent to or submission to a God will involve some degree of restriction of my freedom. He reckons that the wisdom of our age puts us before an abyss, and our sort of free choice is the only thing we've got left. It's quite a challenging argument.
What does he think a better way of understanding freedom would be?
Well, he has this really beautiful image. He says that the classical world, so the ancient world, which he says included Christianity but not restricted to it. So there's people like Plato and Aristotle, but also people like Augustine, Thomas Aquinas, had this sense that freedom wasn't all about endless choice, but in fact was about getting rid of the things that prevented you from being who you truly are. It's like it's a notion of choosing well and becoming what you're intended to be. And he brings up this image of a sculptor chipping away at a rock to reveal the figure beneath. He says that's what freedom was understood to be. It's a much more kind of lofty vision for me than a sort of endless choice, which our society seems to have taken hold of.
Yeah, freedom is good. Everyone likes a taste of freedom, but not everyone can have freedom because of the choices they make in life. But then again, everyone makes choices and learns from them.
Being raised as a Muslim in Australia, born here, you're kind of living almost a double life.
Yeah.
So I guess you have to tailor the way you act around certain people.
We've been going out for 4 years almost, and his family doesn't know who I am.
The monetary system is the biggest threat to our freedom here. You have to do what other people say when they say it to make money and survive, and you can't survive without it or you'll end up on the streets. In other countries, it's violence. Violence and probably religious controls. A lot of religious controls in countries lead to a lot of the violence that mean you don't get to choose who you are.
It's natural to think of religion in these terms of boundaries and limits and control, but Christianity, in fact, claims to be all about freedom. Jesus famously said that the truth will set you free. What's the Christian vision for freedom?
Well, no doubt there are many people who think of Christianity as being about restrictions and really not much to do with freedom at all. But I actually think it's the opposite of that, although I am sympathetic. I can see why people might think it. So the Christian vision for life is that we are restricted by, I guess, enslaved to the fact that we are broken and flawed people and we're unable ultimately to save ourselves. And the claim is that through Jesus, God through Jesus, can free us from ourselves, if you like, or our propensity to, as Francis Spufford calls it, to muck things up. Only God can sort of rescue us from that. And so the Christian vision is about being put on a path of becoming who we were designed to be. And that's about living in harmony with the creator of the universe and his instructions for living the fullest, richest, most meaningful life possible. G.K. Chesterton talked about the Christian life being about good things able to run free or run wild because they're placed within certain boundaries. But it's a really sort of uplifting vision. Although I have to admit, for some people, their experience of Christianity hasn't been that, tragically.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to Life and Faith, and we're talking about freedom.
This story, although set in the past, is about the future, where I know freedom is.
No slave has ever escaped from my plantation. I'm going to give you another 1,000 when you bring them all back.
Sammy, you have to trust.
This is where we'll hide you tonight. It's safe. Where are they?
They're going to run us down, Nessa. They're going to beat us again. They're going to put the collar to us again. Faith.
There's a new movie that's just come out with the ambitious title Freedom. Simon's been to see it. What's it about, Simon?
Yeah, the film tells two stories. One is of the slave trader, John Newton, who's famous for having repented of this terrible life where he was a captain of a ship trading in slaves. And he becomes a Christian. He writes the hymn that everyone knows, Amazing Grace. So that's the first story. And then the second is 100 years later. And it's in America. And it's the story of a family of slaves. The actor, Cuba Gooding Jr., plays the father of this family. They're escaping from the South into the North, and they're assisted by this Christian group, the Quakers, who've set up this elaborate system of getting slaves across the countryside and across the rivers and mountains and whatever into the safety of the North.
Are those two separate stories? Does the film link them together?
They're woven into together, and the link is that the character played by Cuba Gooding Jr., his great-grandfather was on the ship with John Newton. And so there's a sort of an interesting link between the two. That's the way they do it, and they interplay the two stories.
Believe me, Samuel, there's always hope. Your great-grandfather was on that ship.
I'm tossed in this wide world alone. No hope.
Learn from those who have gone before you.
They're taking food!
What is he saying?
He wants his freedom.
Captain Newton, so like you, Samuel. A soul without a compass. Confronted by his past.
I am a man. Am I not your brother?
No one is alone.
There's a musical element to the film as well, isn't there? How does that work?
Yeah, there is. Better than you might think. I think this is mostly, it works mostly because of this tradition of Negro spirituals, which come play a big part in the film, and the comfort and the hope that those songs brought to this terrible lives of these people. And so, yeah, that's an important element of the film. It's shown to give these people great hope and support and comfort as they go through terrible trials.
Obviously, then the film is about literal slavery and physical freedom. But does it also talk about more abstract kinds of freedom? Is the John Newton story also about the freedom that he kind of finds?
Yeah, it is. And for Newton, who is a free man, obviously, but trading in the lives of slaves, you get this sense that he is a slave to his own cruelties and also the injustice of what he's doing. He eventually comes to see it like that, and he's sort of filled with terrible guilt. But for him, the Christian story is of him being set free. He was enslaved, he says, and he was set free. So, the words of the hymn, I was once lost, now I'm found, I was blind, but now I see, has this great sense of a radical transformation in his life, and truly he felt like the chains had come off.
There do seem to be quite a few slavery films around lately. This is kind of quite a popular theme. Why do you think that is? Why is there this interest suddenly in slavery and the abolition of slavery and those stories?
Well, I think this has been around for a long time, and it probably will continue to be. In America, it's a crucial part of their history. They're still coming to terms with it, hundreds of years later. But the issues of freedom and slavery just remain important all the world over. The film ends with an appeal to people to do something about modern slavery, which it points out is a massive problem, bigger than it's ever been. It's hard for us to kind of imagine that, but that's the statistics. And so this is something that we're yet to come to terms with, people being enslaved by others. And so it raises all sorts of important issues, both the kind of literal slavery, but also more figurative or spiritual slavery. So it raises some important questions.
So that film is Freedom. It's out in cinemas at the moment. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week on Life and Faith.
Release the slaves, Davy, else they all drown.
I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. Hope can be found in the darkest of places.